朋友们大家好，欢迎收听 Wave Jazz， 我是米周。今年5月份的第二个周末，9号10号战马音乐节将会在北京和上海同步开启。作为这次音乐节的压轴嘉宾，他们请到了巴西现在新生代的 Bossa Nova 的声音 Dora Mollenbaum。 Wave Jazz 在第93期的时候，做过一期关于巴西音乐的节目。战马的朋友呢，在做这个邀请之前啊，他们其实是有跟我联系过。其实非常惭愧啊，因为可能相对于绝大多数的听友来说，我比大家对于巴西音乐上的更多的了解，可能也就是多了这一期节目的一个知识储备而已。但是呢，我仍然觉得这是一个非常好的主意，因为首先我觉得 Dora 这样一个作为巴西 Bossa Nova 新生代的声音，在国内其实是很少被听到的。第二呢，我当时也给他们出了一个馊主意，我其实想说既然能把 Dora 这样一个代表巴西的声音请过来，而且今年又是中巴文化年，那能不能让他们去联系一下巴西的使领馆，看看能不能让使领馆一同参与到对这场演出或者对这个整个音乐节的一个宣传当中。没想到他们就真的去做了，而且做到了。请到了 Dora 之后呢，他们就问说 Wave Jazz 可不可以跟他们一起合作哈，去来推广这样的演出。我觉得单做一期关于 Dora 的节目可能会比较无聊，因为毕竟他的知名度在国内现在还不高。那我就想说，能不能够联系上海的使领馆，跟使领馆里面的巴西的外交官，如果能聊一聊，对吧，让他们给我们讲讲巴西音乐，我觉得是一个更好的一个契机，也会是一个更精彩的节目。那他们呢，就帮我联系到了巴西驻上海总领事馆科技创新处的主管，以及公共外交处的主管卢山先生。我呢是准备了非常详细的问题的提纲，然后我也发给了卢山先生，但其实我知道外交官们一般都是非常非常的繁忙，其实对这次对谈呢我并没有十足的信心，但是没想到在见面之后卢山先生准备的非常的详细。我们是有一种荒岛电台的形式哈，我希望卢山先生能够帮我选几首他特别喜欢的歌，结果他选出来的歌曲，选出来的艺术家远比我希望他选出来的还要多得多。所以对于我来讲，跟卢山先生的这次对谈是一次非常正宗的巴西音乐之旅，而且是一个非常好的对于我来讲去拓展巴西音乐认知的机会。这场对谈是用英语完成的，尽管卢山先生他汉语也不错，但是呢经过协商之后呢，我们觉得可能在聊一些更有深度的话题的时候，英文对于我们两个来说沟通起来都更方便一些。但是大家真的不希望大家因为英文就放弃这期节目，因为首先我相信啊，我们 Wave Jazz 的听友英文绝对都不差啊，这是第一。第二呢，大家有许多辅助的设备哈，可以去帮忙去收听这个节目。我知道小宇宙就有这种实时翻译的功能。我也会在节目下面的 show notes 当中把我问的问题和时间点都帮助大家标出来，所以至少大家能够大致的知道在什么时间我们至少是在聊什么方向的内容。而且我也会把卢山先生推荐的歌手和歌曲一并放在节目下面的 show notes 当中。第三呢，英文对于我跟卢山先生来说都是第二语言，所以其实我们用的英文真的都不是很难的英文，都是很简单的英文，内容非常的精彩，所以希望大家能够听下去，能够抓住这个非常不容易的契机。
You actually think about the songs?
Sure. Okay, I have the songs prepared.
Perfect. So today with me, Mr. Lucas Lima, the head of Science and Technology Innovation Section and the head of Culture and Public Diplomacy Section of Consulate General of Brazil in Shanghai.Welcome, Lucas.
Hello, MZ. Nice to meet you. And
nice to meet
you. It's a pleasure to participate in your program.
Perfect. Thank you for your time. It's a privilege. So maybe I think we'll start with a little bit of your introduction. So tell us about yourself. What do you do as the diplomat here in Shanghai? And what kind of your work scope here?
Well, I'm a Brazilian diplomat here in Shanghai. I've just completed 1 year living in Shanghai in the Consulate General.Of Brazil. Mm-hmm. I'm head of the cultural section mainly, especially in this year when we have Brazil-China cultural year. So it's a very upbeat and a very busy year for the cultural area. But I just completed 1 year here in Shanghai. Uh-huh. Previously, I've lived 5 years in Beijing.
Okay.
I was also head of the cultural section there for some time. Mm-hmm.And I also participated in a mission to open our consulate in Chengdu.
Okay.
2021.
Okay.
So it's my third time living in China, and
awesome.
I have a blast living here. I really love to live here in China.
So total, how many years in China?
In total, it would be almost 7 years.
7 years?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you add all those
periods,
it would be almost 7 years.
Awesome. So we're a podcast about jazz music. It's about sound. So maybe we'll start with a question about sound as well.
Sure. Right.
If I let you choose a sound about China, what is the sound that impressed you or still remember?
Well, I'm a huge fan of the Chinese cities, the big cities like Shanghai, Beijing, and sound is a presence that you have, like music is a presence that you have in a lot of places, especially in Shanghai. And when I get in the area of the Bund, in Nanjing Road,
okay.
in a lot of bars and restaurants, you also, there is also this moment when you hear like Meiguei, Meiguei. So I think it's a classic Chinese song, a classic jazz from the 30s and 40s. And this is very constant. Many times in restaurants, I hear this song.
Yeah.
I'm also a fan of Teresa Tan.
Deng Lijun.
And also, I'm a huge fan of Shanghainese filmmaker Wang Kar-wai, Wang Jiawei.
Ah, okay.
So I think the soundtracks of his films all remember me of the environment
awesome.
Of Shanghai streets, of Shanghai restaurants.
Uh-huh.
I feel he depicts a lot of the of what is to be a Shanghainese.
That's right. And then to me, sometimes I'm not originally from Shanghai, but sometimes when I hear like Shanghai people, they talk in their dialect. It's a kind of music for me, you know.
Yeah.
Like it bump up and down. It's different for from where I come from.
Yeah, and also the series that he launched recently, like Blossom Shanghai.
Yeah.
I think Fanhua. It depicts another side of the city that is like the urban, very urban side of a big metropolis, and how people live here and want to prosper and want to have a better life.
Mm-hmm.
And all these interactions that happen in the city. I think the city is a character in the film of Wang Kar-wai. So
absolutely.
That's why I'm fascinated with his work, and I think it's a great Shanghainese filmmaker.
It's very good. Let's get into a kind of personal question right now. Before becoming a diplomat, or before even like work, right? Back in Brazil, what kind of music were with you when you actually grew up?
Well, I grew up in a very small town
okay.
in the state of Minas Gerais in Brazil. It's a very mountainous state.
Let's talk about directions. It's more north.
It's in the southeast of Brazil,
okay.
Close to São Paulo, to Rio, but it's very in the middle.
Got it.
And it's a state that everybody says, many people say that it's a summary of Brazil because you have like the north
mm-hmm.
of Minas Gerais. It's very close to the northeast of Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
You have the south of Minas Gerais that has like a lot of influence from the south of Brazil. So you have a mix of what Brazilians are in
very
the
nice.
State of Minas Gerais. And it's a very, in a state full of mountains, full of small towns,
mm-hmm.
a lot of farms. And I grew up in this very small town of 100,000 people.
100,000 people?
Yeah,
only.
It was like a childhood in like playing on the streets,
okay.
Very quiet childhood, and the music there is very different from in the rest of the country. You have a lot of like country music, it's a kind of country music.
Yeah.
So we call it sertanejo, that is very famous in all over Brazil, but it's very strong in Minas Gerais.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Maybe let's hit on our first song.
Yeah, but I would love to mention another band first. That is a rock band from
okay.
Minas Gerais, because in the middle of all these sertanejo songs, there is a very good and very authentic rock band called Skank. And they have a song that is like a national anthem in Brazil. It's called Soccer Game. It's called Partida de Futebol, Soccer Game. It's a great band. They are highly popular all over Brazil, but they are very famous in Minas Gerais. And some of their songs were transformed in national anthems. So I know that Chinese people love soccer and Brazilians also.
Yeah.
And always, for example, when I was a kid, for me it was a very impactful moment when Brazil won the World Cup in 1994.
Uh-huh.
I was a kid, and this song was like a victory song.
So this is the song, as you said, it's a band from your original...
It's from my original state, uh-huh. But I was referring to like the childhood playing on the streets,
nice.
Like a very quiet way of being a child, mm-hmm. very different from today with like all the screens that we have.
Yeah.
I didn't have like a cell phone nor internet,
but
it's a very different childhood from, uh-huh. from what a kid today would have. I think another singer and another author that writes songs that is very important in my state,
mm-hmm.
that is a national treasure in Brazil, is Milton Nascimento. And he has a song called Bola de Meia, Bola de Gude. I would translate it like it's sock ball, marble ball. It's like it's a kind of game. This song was recorded in the 70s.
Okay.
But I was born in 1983. This song was launched in the 70s, but I think it was recorded by some of the big names of Brazilian music, starting from Milton Nascimento, who's the author of the song. And it's a song about kids' games and about friendship when you're a kid.
Okay.
So if I could, I have like a part of the song here. For example, he says, "There is a past in my present, the sun is so warm in my backyard. Every time the witch haunts me, the boy holds my hand and tells me about beautiful things that I believe will never cease to exist.
Mm-hmm.
Friendship, word, respect, character, kindness, joy, and love."
That's so absolutely beautiful.
Those are the lyrics. And I think when you're a kid in Minas Gerais,
uh-huh.
you grow up hearing, listening to Milton Nascimento. I think every Brazilian nowadays totally respects the importance that mm-hmm. he has in our music. His songs were played by a group called Clube da Esquina that are very famous in the state, and they have some very mythical songs.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really a national treasure.
Há menino, há moleque, morando sempre no meu coração. Toda vez que o adulto balança, ele vem pra me dar a mão. Passado no meu presente, um sol bem quente lá no meu quintal. Toda vez que a bruxa me assombra, o menino me dá a mão e me fala de coisas bonitas que eu acredito que não deixarão de existir. Amizade, palavra, respeito, caráter, bondade, alegria e amor. Pois não posso, não devo, não quero viver.
So you said you come from southeast part of the country, right? And my question is, for Brazil, for that country, the music must be different in different part.
Yeah.
Right? I mentioned earlier when we met Maria Rita, I think she got famous by singing Arastal. And that song, I was told, was a song from northeast part of the country, where there are fishermen, right? They put their Arastal outside in the sea. And when they come back, they get a lot of harvest, right? Could you talk a little bit more about what are the music differences between different parts of the country?
Yeah, Brazil is a very big country, a very diverse country. It has a lot of diverse geographical
mm-hmm.
language accents. We are united by the Portuguese language, but we are very diverse. Our culture is so rich, and
mm-hmm.
and this is translated in music also.
Okay.
Have mm-hmm. different rhythms. So if you think about my state, Minas Gerais,
mm-hmm.
it's I feel that the music and the literature is very related to the mountains
okay.
and to this the psychological feeling of being in the mountains.
Yes.
And then you have all the northeast and the influence of the sea,
right.
of being like open to the sea, and you have like the Bahia music, and all the Northeast, the Forró, and all the music that comes from that region that's so upbeat and so related to carnival in a way. We're going to talk that about that soon, because there are some singer, very important musicians that come from that state that we should mention. But if you think about other regions that are not so talked about in foreign countries, like in the north of Brazil, you have a totally different culture related to the Amazon and the cultural manifestations of the Amazon. They're very different in terms of rhythms, in terms of instruments that they play. You have a singer like her name is Gabi Amarantos. From the north of Brazil. She's also one of the queens of our new generation, and she has a totally different sound from other parts of Brazil.
Saia vermelha, camisa preta, chegou pra abalar. Quando tu for na casa dela lhe buscar, ela vai preparar café coado na calcinha, só pra lhe enfeitiçar. E se tu for na aparelhagem, tu vai ver só, ela vai afrontar.
Totally agree with you, because I work with a lot of foreign colleagues, and they were asking me, like, tell me something about Chinese language. I said, man, there's no language called Chinese. Like, every people speak a language kind of differently, and we're united, as you said, by the Mandarin, by the Putonghua.
Putonghua, yeah.
But
if you go to Yunnan, you see some very different characteristics and styles, different accents, and this makes our countries very rich and very, I think, very adaptive and very creative, because it's this difference and that, and this mix of different aspects of our culture that make us very authentic.
Absolutely. My next question is actually related to my own experience, right? If I express a little bit more, I came from Northeast China, Dongbei. I'm Dongbeiren. I don't know if you heard about that area of China. It's more of like they got a sense of humor, like they speak loud, right? And the music there is very earthy, right? So actually my question is, during your childhood or when you grew up, is there any sound or style of music that you dislike as a child, but you becomes more appreciate as an adult as here? Because when I was in Northeast, right, when I was in my hometown as a child, so our music specialty is called 二人转. It's basically two men rotate, if I translate, right? They sing and they dance in a way that like rotating together. And I didn't like it when I was a child, because I feel it's not modern, it's not fancy.
Yeah.
It's like too earthy for me. But now when I grew up, I hear to the traditional music from Northeast. There's a band called the Secondhand Rose, 二手玫瑰, who's the rock band. And they merge the 二人转 into their rock music. And it's super cool. I'm a big fan of that. So now I know how to appreciate my music. So I don't know if something happened to you.
Yeah, I think my taste changed from childhood to now. When I was a child, I wasn't very used to listening to classical music, for example. I was more into like different styles from the pop world and rock and sertanejo from Brazil, samba, and not so much of the classical pieces. And as I grew up, I learned to appreciate more like the classics, the cult music, and even Brazilian authors like Villa-Lobos that we're now promoting a lot, also with a lot of pianists, Brazilian pianists that come here, or sopranos that come here. They play a lot of these important pieces for the Brazilian music. But I I wasn't used to like so much, like Mozart, Beethoven, and all these like world masters and the Brazilian masters. And as I grew up, as an adolescent, as an adult, I now find me listening much more of this kind of music. And I really like when some pop stars start to make the mix with the classical and the urban and the contemporary. You see like some international artists, I think it's a tendency of giving value also to these classical foundations in arts, and how these all these background were important for how the how music developed. For example, I love a Spanish singer called Rosalía, and her new album is exactly about that, how you mix like the classical and the contemporary and the different influences from all over the world. And there's a lot of Brazilian musicians that are doing that, that they drink from the water of the classics to do something very contemporary.
Ivan Lins.
Ivan Lins, for example.
For example. Yeah. Okay, very good. My next question, chunk of questions, are actually about bossa nova, because we can't talk about Brazilian music without talk about bossa nova, right? But those, I got two questions here, but those two questions will be, from my point of view, could be a little bit tough. Because in Wi-Fi Jazz, in this podcast, I previously, I did an episode specifically about bossa nova and MPB. And then I didn't realize that, but along the way, when I make this program, I started to feel that bossa nova, if you think about it, is something created in the 50s. And then it was, the big breakthrough was actually made happen by an American jazz musician called Stan Getz, right? He brought it up to the US, and it got breakthrough in the States, and then beyond the world, right? So sometimes when I think about it, and now bossa nova definitely is the national symbolic music of Brazil. But sometimes when I think about it, it makes me a little bit uneasy, because a country symbolic music is actually brought up or breakthrough by an American jazz musician.
I wouldn't totally agree with that, because actually this album, the Stan Getz, João Gilberto, Anton Jobim, I think it's an incredible album. One of the greatest albums of all time.
Totally agree.
And I think it's not only Stan Getz, it's also two big names of Brazilian music, João Gilberto and Tom Jobim. And I think when I hear that, and when I listen to this album, I also think about how the Brazilian bossa nova transformed jazz and transformed international jazz. So it's not just Brazilian music played by a foreign singer or being played in the United States. It's like it's a Brazilian music transforming how jazz is understood. I think the jazz changed after that.
That's right.
With Frank Sinatra, Frank Sinatra playing these songs after the girl from Ipanema influenced his style also. And I think this is something that I really respect, and how the Brazilian music is adaptive also to international influences, and how it transforms all these influences in something very, very new. Actually, the start of bossa nova, if you think about what was the song that started bossa nova, I would mention one from João Gilberto called Chega de Saudade, No More Missing, like no more saudade.
I know the song, but I just don't know how to write it down.
Yeah, saudade is an expression that is very Brazilian. It's like a feeling of missing something. Saudade.
Saudade.
And this song was launched in 1958.
Ela que sem ela não pode. pode ser. Diz-lhe numa prece que ela regresse, porque eu não posso mais sofrer.
This and also you have all these like very important songs from a collaboration between a Brazilian diplomat, Vinicius de Moraes,
mm-hmm.
Who was a composer, singer, but also a diplomat, and Tom Jobim, mm-hmm. the greatest, great Brazilian pianist and mm-hmm. composer, that they wrote The Girl from Ipanema, and also Tom Jobim also launched Águas de Março, that was also played a lot in the United States, and those songs influenced a lot international jazz. So he was, Vinicius de Moraes was one of the greatest ambassadors mm-hmm. of Brazilian culture.
Absolutely.
Through songs.
Okay.
And through music. And I think what they did with Bossa Nova was like maybe the first time Brazilian song reached the international stage in a new dimension.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Por falar em saudade, onde anda você? Onde andam seus olhos que a gente não vê? Onde anda esse corpo que me deixou morto de tanto prazer? E por falar em beleza, onde anda a canção que se ouvia da noite? Dos bares de então, onde a gente ficava, onde a gente se amava em total solidão.
Hoje eu saio. I would say in China or maybe beyond China, around the world, right? We talk about Bossa Nova. Bossa Nova is definitely the representative of Brazilian music. But I think if I ask you, Lucas, to actually introduce Brazilian music to the Chinese audience, something not Bossa Nova, because we've heard a lot of Bossa Nova, we kind of, you know, got it enough,
yeah.
Right? But if something not Bossa Nova, what would be your song too here?
Well, I think Brazilian music has a lot of potential to be more known in China, different as different rhythms.
Absolutely, yes.
And we were mentioning about the influence of the sea uh-huh. in the Northeast and all the music. If we think about those states, the state of Bahia that's so rich in terms of music, I would. It reminds me of the carnival in Bahia, and also about a different rhythm that was created in that state. It's called axé. It's a style of music of Brazilian music from Bahia,
uh-huh.
and. There was a song that was very important in the creation of axé, in the creation of the carnival in the Northeast, by a great singer called Daniela Mercury. And this song is called O Canto da Cidade, the Song of the City. She goes, she sings, the color of this city is me, the song of this city is me. If you want to play that, it's a very nice song. And when you hear this song, it transports you to Bahia. The cidade, she's referring to Salvador, which is the capital of Bahia State.
Ah, okay.
And it's very interesting because it's a mix. It mixes a lot of Afro-Brazilian rhythms. So you have samba, reggae, you have frevo, pop, merengue, rock. It's a mix of genres that are that created axé. And I think this is very present in carnival, because carnival in Brazil is so important. Yes. And it's not one carnival. It's different carnivals in different states. Uh-huh. You have the carnival from Rio, you have the carnival from Salvador, from Minas Gerais, in the north, in Pernambuco state. It's a different kind of of carnival. So this is just a reflection of how Brazil is diversified.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It is so incredible just to think about how rich the musical culture over there in Brazil. So when I prepare my episode about MPB, about Bossa Nova, I also read this story about the military government back in the days.
Yeah.
And then that's, I would say, around the 50s and 60s, right? And they, when the military government got control, they actually launched this culture kind of dictatorship, right? But what amazed me is the music, the MPB, actually happened right before or right after that time frame. I never get it, because there must be something I don't know, or you guys must be very romantic. Under the culture dictatorship, you can still get the music so like beautiful.
Well, Brazilian music is very strong, and Brazilian culture is very strong. So I think in that time it was a very complicated period, a very complex political situation, and a lot of the big names of Brazilian music were exiled or arrested. When we think about Caetano Veloso, Gilberto Gil, they launched a very important musical movement in that time.
Tropicália.
Tropicália.
Yeah.
It was launched in the 60s. It was a response to this very complex situation. And I think it was a cultural movement that had an influence, because the word Tropicália comes from a word from the visual arts, from a Brazilian visual artist called Hélio Oiticica. And then I think Caetano used this word and made it the name of the album.
Yes, yes.
And so I think it has also a mix of different rhythms. In Brazil, we call them baião, caipira, pop, and rock. So it was very new for Brazil. And very powerful.
Yes.
And I think it just shows how powerful the cultural movement was to as a response for this very complicated period.
Absolutely.
In Brazil.
Yep. You said you were in China for 7 years.
In total, yeah.
In total. When's the first time you heard Brazilian music in China?
Well, sometimes you hear Brazilian music when you're in restaurants here, because they play some Brazilian bossa nova, but not everybody know that these songs are Brazilian.
Yes.
Some people think that they are from other countries and they don't know that they are Brazilian. So I think my first memory of hearing Brazilian songs was probably listening to some bossa nova,
of course.
Chinese restaurants,
hotels. Does that annoy you? Like people don't know what they're doing, right?
Well, I think what annoys me is that this music is not associated to Brazil, to being Brazilian music.
Got it. Yeah.
Because I think this reminds us that there is a great potential for people to understand what is Brazilian music, so that they can know that the singers, the composers, and I think that's our work here. That's what we are promoting.
The other question will be completely the opposite. Is there any moment you heard in China that you heard a Brazilian music that makes you think this guy really knows what he's doing, right? Or it really brings you you're proud of your music when you were in China, you listened to that thing, and then I'm happy about being a Brazilian here in China.
You mean Chinese people playing Brazilian music or Brazilian?
It could be either way. Brazilian or Chinese people playing Brazilian music.
Well, I think the singers and the composers that we are promoting here in the last years are just examples of how virtuous some Brazilian musicians are. They mm-hmm. can do some incredible things. If we think about like the most important names, the most famous names of Brazilian music, like I'm very great fan of Caetano Veloso, Caetano, Gilberto Gil, Maria Bethânia, Gal Costa, all this, they're in the same generation. Yes. What when you see they playing their songs, it's really something out of this world. It's very incredible what they did. But when we also look at the new generation that are having a dialogue with these big names, they are also reinventing the traditions and doing something very new and transforming Brazilian music. And I think this sometimes is being made with interactions between these big names and the new names.
Right.
And sometimes it's just like interactions between the new names also.
Right. So when you say new names, I'm assuming...
the new voices of Brazilian music. Some of them we are promoting this year in China-Brazil Culture Year.
So we'll say Dora Molenborn?
I think this would be a very good example.
Right.
She's going to be here in Shanghai on the beginning of May.
Right.
I know that she's going to play in JAMA Festival. Yes. She's going to be at the Jazz at the Lincoln Center.
Mm-hmm.
And... all these presentations are part of the program of Brazil-China Cultural Year. I was really impressed with the work of Dora because she has a beautiful voice.
Uh-huh. So you listen to her a lot.
I knew her since she was in another band,
okay.
Bala Desejo.
Uh-huh.
This band won the Grammy Awards in 2020, I think.
I think so. Yeah.
The Latin Grammys for their album, and in the solo career, she's also doing great things. I think her voice reminds me a lot of the voice of Gal Costa, that is another big name of Brazilian music.
Right.
I will mention a song of Gal Costa that reminds me a lot of Dora Morelenbau. It would be a song called Baby.
Baby, okay.
By Gal, played by Gal Costa.
Baby.
I'm not a singer, so I won't.
I know that one. That's yeah.
And when you think about the lyrics of this song, it just says, you need to get an ice cream at the snack bar. Walk with us, see me up close, listen to that Roberto Carlos song.
Uh-huh.
Roberto Carlos is another big name of Brazilian music. And she goes, I don't know, everything's going great with me. Everything's peaceful with you. We live in the best city in South America, What's the best city? We don't know.
I actually studied that song when I... did my last episode.
I think it's open to interpretation. What's the best?
Exactly. It's there's a lot of interpretation, as you said, how to actually view the lyrics.
Yeah.
Sometimes I see some comments saying that the lyrics, there's some danger under the lyrics. The lyrics are talking about good life.
Yeah.
Right? How you need to be like more than people. Right? You need to know this, you need to know that, and then you will be like a good, like very fashion people. But under this, I think I read some comments about, you know, this might be part of the Tropicalia movement that is saying that, you know, and in Brazil or in this society, there's not a lot of people who can actually reach that standard.
Yeah.
Right. So.
And I think to be compared to her, to Gal Costa, is a great thing because she was a great name of Brazilian music. We unfortunately lost her. Some years ago, last year, for example, I was in the concerts that Caetano Veloso and Maria Bethânia did together in Brazil. They were in a tour in all over Brazil, and I had the privilege to be in some of these concerts because I was living in Brazil last year. And this album of Caetano Veloso and Maria Bethânia, they won the Grammy Awards.
Yes.
This year for this album, for these concerts that they did together. You know that they are brothers and sisters.
Oh, I don't know that.
Yeah, they're
okay.
They're from a small city in Bahia called Santo Amaro. And they they are like genius of Brazilian music. They have separate career, like independent career by themselves. But we were very lucky to have them have this whole tour together last year. Yeah, so I think all these singers, Caetano Veloso and Maria Bethânia, they're in their 80s now, and it's impressive how productive they are, what they are still doing for Brazilian music. Caetano is also launching a lot of music, a lot of songs with very young talents of Brazilian music, like Maria Gadu. They had an album together, Caetano and Maria Gadu, and he did an electronic music album for Gal Costa that was played by her with all electronic music. So imagine, like, these very big names of like Brazilian music in their 70s or 80s
and
doing
electronic
music. So this is just a proof of how Caetano Veloso is reinventing himself.
Absolutely.
And how he's nurturing these new talents of of Brazilian music
and embrace the new things.
I think their concerts, their tour in Brazil together last year was so important, because they had a lot of participations of new names of Brazilian music. For example, there is a great black woman and singer in Brazil called Isa. And she has a great song called Faith. She this song was played by Maria Bethânia during this concert. I think this song is so important, because it tells a lot of how Brazilians sometimes they need to have faith to work and to combat all the adversities of life, of difficulties in their work, of in big cities, and it shows the resilience of Brazilian people.
Absolutely.
And I think this is I would like to mention this singer, because she has a powerful voice also.
Perfect.
And very different style from all the others that I'm mentioning, but I would like to mention this song of her also.
Fé pra quem é forte, fé pra quem é foda, fé pra quem não foge a luta, fé pra quem não perde o foco, fé pra enfrentar esses filha da puta. Fé pra quem é forte, fé pra quem é foda, fé pra quem não foge a luta, fé pra quem não perde o foco, fé pra enfrentar esses filha da puta. Fé no proceder, na luta e na lida, enquanto a gente não conquista, segue em frente firme, que a nossa firma é forte.
And talking about Caetano Veloso, I would like to mention one song of him.
Of course.
Because we're talking about how you how sometimes you remember Brazilian music being in China. And I think we are in a week a very special week, because we have like people going to the moon. You have a lot of new things being done, technology, exploration of the space. And I think Caetano has a very interesting song about that.
Oh, really?
It's called Not Identified, Não Identificado. And this song was, I think it was launched in the 70s or 80s.
Okay.
It was in the time when the man, when human being went to the moon for the first time.
Okay.
This song, the lyrics goes like that. I'm going to write a song for her, a simple Brazilian song to release after Carnival. Because, you know, if you release a song during Carnival, if it's a Carnival song, it's going to be a huge success.
Yes.
But if if you were going to release another song, you have to wait until the carnival ends so you can release the song. So
got it.
That's why he wants to release the song after carnival.
After carnival, okay.
And I'm going to write a romantic rock and roll song, a sentimental anti-computer song to launch into outer space. My passion will shine in the night, in the sky of a small town. So I think when I hear this song, seeing all this, seeing on television, people going to the moon, and but I'm from a small town.
Yeah.
So I remind me when I was a kid, also imagining what human being could do in the outer space. And I think that's the same thing that this Brazilian important musician is doing. But he's going to launch a Brazilian song in the space. So that's also what we want to do. We want to launch Brazilian music in other countries and in outer space.
That's romantic,
yeah.
I have to say. Yeah, it brings you something like very far, like launching something to the moon, to you, like something really close to you, the Brazilian music. They bound it all together.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Because sometimes being in China, it's like to being in another universe. Because the culture is very different from the other parts of the world.
Do you miss home a lot?
I feel very home here. But I also miss Brazil a lot.
Right, being, of course.
Being so far away. And I think having the Brazilian culture here, in promoting Brazilian culture here, brings me closer to home in China.
It's very cool. We talk about Dora, right? I just want to move the topic back a little bit. So you mentioned there are actually two generations, the generation of Caetano Veloso and then like the new generation for Dora. Based on your observation, I know you listen to Dora a lot as well. Do you sense that for this new generation, are they more interested to preserve the traditions or reinvent the traditions, or simply ignore the traditions?
No, I think they respect a lot the traditions, and they know that their music exists because of the traditions and because of the accumulation of Brazilian sounds and songs and rhythms. And I think when you hear the new voices of Brazilian music, you feel the influences of different rhythms of Brazilian music. But I think they are reinventing a lot. They're transforming a lot what we are doing. And they're experimenting a lot. And I think that's why it's fascinating to hear that. They are very open to dialogue with different countries. And we're seeing a lot with the artists that we're bringing to China from the same generation of Dora. I would mention another very great Brazilian, very young singer. Her name is Tulipa Ruiz. We had her last year in Jay-Z Festival and also in Jazz at Lincoln Center. And she went to the Montreux Jazz Festival in Suzhou. And I'm mentioning her because she is having a very authentic work, and also she's collaborating with Chinese music. She went to Lijian and in the province of Yunnan, and she did a collaboration with a Chinese singer from Yunnan.
There are a lot of folk singers in Lijian, very famous.
And she has a great song called Kaoliji Bamboo. It's like bamboo stalk. And this song has a participation of a Chinese singer called Ye Hai Yahan. But the lyrics is very interesting. It goes like that. Beyond that lake lies a mountain of ice. After the ice, you can't feel the tip of your finger. The tip of your finger points straight towards the mystery. And this is just the beginning, this overwhelming feeling of abyss. Bamboo stalk, dragon's body, people of Beijing, bean candy, people of the Xingu, that's like a region of Brazil. Corpos de dragão. But you see the different elements of Chinese traditions and Brazilian traditions, the bamboo, and also people from the middle of Brazil, like of the Xingu area.
Okay, so that's the middle of the,
Close to the Amazon. And then you see how these collaborations, and I highly recommend that you hear, we can, could listen to this song now because it's so beautiful. They launched this song last year and they are doing, they're filming a documentary about this experience that she had in China, having this musical residency in Lijiang. And then they launched this song together, and I think this will be a huge success when they launch this documentary.
Very good. Let's switch gear to the China-Brazil Culture Year, which will be a little bit bigger topic than just the music. What are we doing this year?
Well, we are trying to have a big impact of Brazilian culture in China this year. I have the, when I first lived in China, in Beijing, some years ago, I had the impression that a good strategy for the promotion of Brazilian culture would maybe be trying to be present at the big festivals that happen in China.
Okay.
Because you have all this big audience in the same period, like in a week or two.
Yes.
You have a lot of artists coming from all over China, a lot of people coming from all over China to a specific event. So I think a lot of our strategy in this cultural year here in Shanghai runs around the big festivals that will happen in Shanghai this year. So I would mention the first festival that we participated this year, that was Shanghai International Spring Music Festival. We had a pianist playing in this specific festival in March.
Okay.
And now we are preparing for our biggest participation in the Jay-Z Spring Festival. So we're bringing more than 10 bands.
Oh, really?
To the Brazilian bands to the festival.
I didn't know there's that many, yeah.
Yeah, almost 13 bands.
From Brazil?
From Brazil.
Wow.
That will be present in the festival. Okay. We're having a big name of Brazilian music, who's Ivan Lins.
Yes.
He's going to play the opening concert at the West Bund Theater. So I highly recommend your audience to get
there.
Tickets.
Yeah.
Get tickets because they're running fast. It's going to be the opening concert for Jay-Z Spring Festival.
That's right.
On the 30th of April, and he's commemorating 80 years of music.
80 years of music, but not 80 years of age.
80 years of age, and almost 50 years of music.
Got it.
And I think he's doing his international launch of this tour of 80 years here in China at Jay-Z Spring Festival. We're going to listen to some of his big successes, like Madalena, one of his most famous songs.
Okay.
And on the 2nd of May, we're going to hold the Brazilian Day inside the Jay-Z Festival.
Yeah, they're going to build a market, right?
Yeah, they're going to build a market of food and beverage. And also, we are going to have a lot of Brazilian artists that live in Shanghai.
Okay.
And live in Shanghai area that will be playing in the Brazilian Day. It's an event organized by the Brazilian Citizen Council. It's an association of Brazilians that live here in Shanghai area. And they are the organizers, and the Brazilian consulate supports this event. So it's going to be a big party in Hengshan 8.
Hengshan 8, yes.
In Shanghai.
Yeah.
So I also highly recommend that you all go there on the 2nd of May. It's going to be a huge party with a lot of capoeira, frevo, samba, different rhythms of Brazil with a lot of surprises.
And good food too.
Good food.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a moment of interaction between this Brazilian bands that are coming from Brazil and the Brazilian bands that live here in Shanghai.
Perfect. That's we'll definitely be there.
Yeah.
It's really exciting when you talk about this year, right, as the China-Brazil Culture Year. What are we going to do? Like, a lot of programs are running, exciting shows coming up. But, I mean, what about next year? What about, like, when we talk about Brazil in 5 years or even 10 years, right? I guess my point is, this cultural year definitely is a great activity. But how do you make the cultural exchange or the musical exchange last in the long run?
Yeah, I think the cultural year will have a very big impact for that.
Yes.
Because if we participate in the big festivals that happen in China and happen in Shanghai, and not only music festival, but also film festivals. We're going to be in the Shanghai International Film Festival. We just participated in the Beijing International Film Festival. Mm-hmm. And when we think about this festival, they have a big long-term impact because they allow us to bring the bands or to bring the films. They can know more about, they have a lot of people who have their first contact with Brazilian music in those festivals. They'll be more curious to know about Brazilian music, mm-hmm. and they will investigate about those artists. A lot of these artists are huge stars in Brazil, but they do not have a lot of followers in Xiaohongshu or in other platforms. So I think a challenge that we have is make them more known and more widespread here in China. And
absolutely.
I think these festivals contribute for that. Uh-huh. They contribute also to the interactions between institutions. For example, if we bring next week, we are bringing a big soprano, Marília Vargas, and a big violinist, mm-hmm. guitar player from Brazil, Marília Vargas, and Fábio Zanon. They'll be playing on the 23rd of April.
In Shanghai?
In Shanghai Oriental Art Center. They'll have a big recital there called From the Yangtze to the Amazon. So they're going to be playing some Chinese and Brazilian classical songs.
That's nice.
So it's a very beautiful, you're totally invited to go attend this concert.
Absolutely.
But this is going to happen in a very important concert hall in Shanghai, the Shanghai Oriental Arts Center.
Yes.
So when we bring a Brazilian new artist or a Brazilian established artist to a venue like that, you also establish a relation with those institutions.
Right.
And with the Brazilian institutions that can collaborate with them.
And, yeah,
so we're definitely trying to do that, to foster the collaboration between the institutions, between the concert halls, between the conservatories, bring the pianists to the conservatories, Shanghai Conservatory, Beijing Conservatory, Guangzhou Conservatory, and other ones. So you entice them to invite more Brazilian artists in the following year. So I hope that next year, in the next 2 years, next 5 years, when we do not have the culture anymore, but maybe we can have more Brazilian artists coming of this moment that we're having.
You plant a seed here,
exactly,
right? And that will grow the flower.
Yeah,
I think when you describe how you guys are trying to increase the fame or increase the audience of the Brazilian musicians, I feel like somehow I got some responsibility too here, you know, as to bring the name you just mentioned to the audience in China. So that's, I think, something I'll definitely do it with you guys.
Yeah, I was mentioning, for example, Marília Vargas. She's going to be here next week on the 23rd. And she had a very interesting moment with the Chinese culture in 2024, when President Xi Jinping went to Brazil, when he was received in the presidential residence, she played the song My Homeland that was immortalized by Pan Li Yuan.
Oh, really?
It was a big hit among the Chinese audience when they saw this Brazilian singer singing this very important song in China. This just demonstrates how these interactions can happen and how they are important. Sometimes we are surprised to see some Chinese singers singing a Brazilian song and also a Brazilian singer singing a Chinese song.
Absolutely. I think we're about an hour or so. Maybe we'll try to close the conversation. I don't know if you have any more.
Yeah, well, when you asked me about the China-Brazil culture year,
yes,
there is a song that could, a Brazilian song, uh-huh, that could remind me of what we want to do here.
Okay.
And this is a song by Caetano Veloso.
Okay.
It's called Os Mais Doces Bárbaros, The Most Sweet Barbarians. So it's a reference to also a Brazilian group called the Sweet Barbarians. The members of this group were some of the big names of Brazilian music: Caetano Veloso, Gilberto Gil,
yes,
Gal Costa, and Maria Bethânia.
Mm-hmm.
And this song goes like that: with love in our hearts, we prepare the invasion. Full of happiness, we enter the beloved city. So we want to do this big entrance here in Shanghai, here in China, with a lot of Brazilian artists, not only in music, but also in the plastic, in the visual arts, uh-huh, in all the, in movies, in cinema. And we want this to be a big invasion of Brazilian music here in this beautiful city of Shanghai. And I hope all your audience can be in Jama Festival, yes, with Dora Morelenbaum. Uh-huh. I think this is so special artist. You're going to listen to a very special voice. And I hope this is just going to be the first time, mm-hmm, of many times that Dora will come back to Shanghai and to China to do more concerts here.
We're definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks for having us.
Of course, thank you for your time.